At last he turned away from her. She started for the door.
Sister, would you send a woman to visit me? To spend a night or two with me?
The pain in his voice almost made her weep. I thought you would be beyond that age. He slowly turned to her.
You have a lover, Sister Margaret.
She reeled at this. How could he know? He didn't know, he was guessing. She was young and thought attractive by some. Of course she would be interested in men. He was only guessing. But then, none of the sisters knew what he was able to do. He was the only wizard they couldn't trust to be truthful about his powers.
You listen to gossip, Nathan?
He smiled.
Tell me, Sister Margaret, do you have the day planned out in advance, when you will be too old for love, even if it is only for a time as fleeting as a night? Exactly how old, sister, is it when we lose the need for love?
She stood silent, ashamed for a time. I will go myself, Nathan, into the city, and bring back a woman to visit you for a time, even if I must pay her price myself. I can't pledge she will be beautiful to your eyes, as I don't know what your eyes fancy, but I can vow she will not be empty between the ears, as I think you value this more than you will admit. She saw a single tear fall from the corner of his eye.
Thank you, Sister Margaret.
But Nathan, you must promise me you will tell her no prophecy. He bowed his head slightly.
Of course, sister. I swear it on my word as a wizard.
I mean it, Nathan. I do not wish to have a part in being responsible for people dying. Not only men died in those battles, but women too. I could not bear having a part in it. His eyebrows lifted.
Not even, Sister Margaret, if one of those women would bear, had she lived, a boy child who would grow into a brutal tyrant, who would go on to torture and slaughter tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of innocent people, women and children among them? Not even, sister, if you had a chance to choke off this fork of a terrible prophecy.
She stood stunned, frozen. At last she made herself blink.
Nathan,
she whispered.
Are you saying...
Good night, Sister Margaret.
He turned and strode off to the solitude of his small garden, pulling up his black hood as he went. Chapter 6 The wind ripped at her, tugging at her clothes and snapping the loose ends. After yesterday's tangled mess, Kaylin was at least glad she had thought to tie back her hair. She clung to Richard for dear life, pressing the side of her face against his back as she squeezed her eyes tightly shut. It was happening again, the thick feeling of growing heavy that made the knot in the pit of her stomach sink lower of its own accord. She thought she might be sick. She was afraid to open her eyes. She knew what always happened when she felt heavy like this. Richard called back for her to look. She opened her eyes just a little, peeking through narrow, squinting slits. As she suspected, the world was tilted at a crazy angle. Her head spun sickeningly. Why did the dragon have to tip over whenever it made a turn? She could feel herself being pressed against the red scales. She couldn't understand why she wasn't falling off. Richard had told her he had figured out that it was just like when you swung a bucket of water around over your head and the water didn't fall out. She had never swung a bucket of water over her head, and wasn't entirely sure he was telling the truth about the water not falling out. She looked longingly at the ground and saw what Richard was pointing at, the mud people's village. Siddon squealed with glee from his place in Richard's lap as Scarlet's huge, leathery wings caught the air and pulled them into a tight spiral. As the red dragon plummeted earthward, the knot of Kaylin's stomach felt as if it were coming up in her throat. She didn't understand how they could like doing this. They enjoyed it. They actually enjoyed it. Arms stuck up in the air, they were both laughing with delight, acting like little boys. Well, one was a little boy, and she guessed he had a right. She suddenly smiled, and then laughed herself. Not at flying on a dragon, but at seeing how happy Richard was. She would fly in a dragon every day just to see him laughing and happy. She stretched up and kissed the back of his neck. He brought his hands down and rubbed one on each of her legs. She clasped them tighter around him and forgot a little about feeling sick. Richard called forward for Scarlet to land in the open field in the center of the village. The sun was almost down, making the tan, plastered, mud-bricked buildings in the circle of the village stand out brightly in the slanting light. Kaelin could smell the sweet smoke from the cooking fires. The long shadows trailed the people running for cover. Women ran from the cooking shelters and men from their weapons-making, all shouting and calling out. She hoped they wouldn't be too frightened. The last time Scarlet had come here, she had carried Darkin Rawl, and when he didn't find Richard, he had killed people. These people didn't know Rawl had forced Scarlet to fly him around after he had stolen her egg. Of course, even without Darkin Rawl riding her, no one ever thought of a red dragon as anything but a deadly threat. She herself would have run for her life at seeing a red dragon. The red were the most fearsome of all the dragons, and no one would ever imagine doing anything with a red dragon except trying to kill it or running for his life. No one but Richard, that is. Who else but Richard would think to befriend one? He had risked his life to get her egg free from Rawl's control so she would help him, and in the process had made a friend for life, although Scarlet still professed her intent to eat him someday. Kaelin suspected it was some private joke between the two, as Richard laughed whenever she said it. At least, Kaelin hoped it was only a joke. She wasn't entirely sure. Kaelin looked down at the village and hoped the hunters didn't start shooting poison arrows before they saw who was riding the red dragon. Sidon suddenly recognized his home. He pointed excitedly and jabbered to Richard in the mud people's language. Richard couldn't understand a word of it, but smiled and nodded and ruffled Sidon's hair. They both gripped the spikes on Scarlet's back as she pulled out of the steep descent. Dust swept up around them, lifted by the fluttering of Scarlet's huge wings as she settled on the ground. Richard grabbed hold of Sidon and sat the little boy up on his broad shoulders, then stood up on Scarlet's back. The stiff, cold breeze carried the dust away to reveal a ragged ring of hunters, their bows drawn, poison arrows pointing up at the three of them. Kaelin held her breath. Grinning, Sidon waved both hands over his head as Richard had told him to. Scarlet held her head down so the mud people could get a clear view of who was riding her. The hunters, astonished, cautiously lowered their bows. Kaelin exhaled when she saw the tension come off the bowstrings. A figure in buckskin pants and tunic stepped through the ring of hunters. Long, silver hair hung down, spreading over his shoulders. It was the Birdman, his sun-browned face a picture of shock.
"It's me, Richard, I have returned. With your help, we have defeated Darkin Rawl, and we have brought Savidlin and Wesselin's son back."
The Birdman looked to Kaelin as she translated. A beaming grin spread on his face.
"We welcome you both back to your people with open arms."
Women and children were gathering among the ring of hunters, their dark, mud-slicked hair framing amazed faces. Scarlet lowered her bulky body to the ground, and Richard slid off her shoulder, landing on his boots with a thump. He held Sidon in one arm as he reached up with the other and helped Kaelin down. She was quietly joyful to have her feet on the earth again. Wesselin pushed through the throng, running to them, Savidlin right at her heels. She wailed her son's name. Sidon held his arms out gleefully and practically leapt into her arms. Wesselin alternated between crying and laughing as she tried to hug her son and Richard and Kaelin all at once. Savidlin rubbed his boy's back and looked to her and Richard with wet eyes.
"He was brave as any hunter," Kaelin told him.
He gave a single, firm, pride-filled nod. He appraised her for a moment and then stepped closer, giving her a gentle slap.
"Strength to confessor Kaelin."
Kaelin returned the slap and greeting, and then he threw his arms around her and squeezed nearly all the breath out of her. When finished with hugging her, he straightened his elder's coyote hide on his shoulders and looked up at Richard. He shook his head in wonderment, and then he gave Richard a powerfully hard whack across the jaw, a demonstration of his heartfelt respect for Richard's strength.
"Strength to Richard with a temper!"
Kaelin wished he hadn't done that. She could tell by Richard's eyes that he had a headache. He had had it since yesterday, and she had hoped it would be better after a good sleep the night before in Scarlet's cave. Sidon had played with the little red dragon until he was dead tired, and then had cuddled between them and gone to sleep. Having not slept for days, she thought she would have no trouble sleeping,
but she found she didn't want to stop looking at Richard. She had finally put her head on his shoulder, held his hand in both of hers, and fallen asleep, smiling. They had all needed the rest. Bad dreams had caused Richard to jerk awake several times in a cold sweat, and even though he had said nothing, she could see in his eyes that he still had the headache. Richard didn't let it bother him, though, and returned Savitlin's slap in kind.
Strength to Savitlin, my friend.
Properly greeted, souls protected, Savitlin let his grins and back slaps fly. After they had exchanged greetings with the Birdman, Richard addressed the crowd.
This brave and noble dragon, Scarlet, he called out in a voice for all to hear, even though they couldn't understand the words, has helped me kill Dark and Rawl and avenge our murdered people. She has brought us here so Sidon could be returned before his parents could fear for him another night. She is my friend, a friend to the Mud People.
Everyone was dumbfounded as Kaelin translated. The hunters, at least, puffed up at hearing that an enemy of the Mud People had been killed by one of their own, even if he was one of their own by proclamation and not by birth. The Mud People honored strength, and to them, killing one who harmed their people meant strength. Scarlet's head swung down, her ears twitching. One yellow eye frowned at Richard.
Friend, red dragons are friends to no people. We are feared by all.
You're my friend, Richard smiled. I'm a person.
Scarlet snorted a puff of smoke at him.
Pah! I will eat you yet.
Richard's grin widened. He pointed at the Birdman.
You see this man? He gave me the whistle that I used to save your egg. If not for that whistle, the Gars might have eaten your little one.
He stroked a hand on the bright red snout. And a wonderful little one it is.